This is Cold Fusion Muse. For those of you listening on the podcast, keep in mind that all of our podcasts are also written out in notes and are on the web on my blog at mkruger.cfwebtools.com, or you can go to cfwebtools.com and click on CF Muse or Cold Fusion Muse in the lower left-hand corner, and it will get you into the blog, and you'll be able to see the notes. It's where I put sample code and some of the lists and so on that I talk about. And you might find that information useful in a written form. Today I want to talk about troubleshooting, problem solving. This is one of the areas in my own career that I've had some success with, troubleshooting. In fact, I come from, like a lot of IT professionals, I came into development from the support world. I started out supporting a server product on the phone, doing installs, taking care of software product, and so I learned a lot of my skills there. I was a network engineer, so I learned a lot of skills in the data center. And every week, in my current career as a business owner and developer for CF WebTools customers, I find myself dealing with intractable problems and bugs, performance issues, and so on for CF WebTools customers. To give you an example, last week, I found myself troubleshooting a JVM for a CF7 customer, a database performance issue, a JMS issue, a messaging queuing system issue, a persistent memory leak in a COM object, and that's a pretty typical week for me running into those kinds of issues. I like troubleshooting. I like debugging. I suppose I have a little Sherlock Holmes in me. I like to pore over minute details, looking for clues and possibilities. I think a good troubleshooter has that quality in his nature or in her nature, the thirst for knowledge, the desire for intellectual growth. I would say that's one of my strengths, but that's not to say that you can't be a good troubleshooter without those, you know, without that aptitude. It takes a certain consistency in your approach, and it takes following some consistent rules and principles as you try to discover what the problem is and what possible solutions you might want to implement. So I'm going to give you four tips for successful troubleshooting. These are pretty broad tips, and they're ones that I follow consistently. But before I give you those four tips, there is one overarching principle that comes to me by way of the world of parenting. If you have children, you know this tip, and you're already aware of it. It is to be patient. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't get tunnel vision. Don't hone in on a single solution and just believe by faith that that's the solution for you. Take the time to actually troubleshoot and be patient. Find out what's really wrong. Sam Gamgee's gaffer, if you like Tolkien, Sam Gamgee's gaffer told him shortcuts make long delays, and that's especially true in the world of development. The job of troubleshooting is not like coding. Troubleshooting involves research and investigation, reading, pouring over code, pouring over configurations. Take your time. Find out all the stuff you need to know, and then some. Your solution will be more thoughtful, and in the end, you will know more about the system for the next time you have to solve a problem. So, with your patience in hand, I offer these four tips for troubleshooting a SYX server or application. Number one, see the big picture first. See the big picture first. Before you get down to fiddling with the application scope or reinstalling drivers, take the time to examine the whole system. Take a close look at all the components that make up the server and its application. So, JRun is at 100%. Does that mean that Cold Fusion is the culprit? You might think so, but what about the database? What about third-party applications? What about the integrity of the code? How about capacity planning? There are lots of things to examine before you jump to any one conclusion. Take the time to see the big picture. Where is the problem occurring? What processes are involved? Is there a direct line in your reasoning? What are all the processes used on the system? Are there access databases that you don't know about? Are there additional sites that you're not involved with? Is there connection problems? Kind of network is it on? How many systems does it take to make up the application? A typical web application is not a pool of ColdFusion code on a ColdFusion server. A typical web application is a pool of ColdFusion code on a ColdFusion server combined with a database server, combined with a security framework, combined with a FTP server or an LDAP server or a JMS system or a mainframe, or the list goes on and on. All of these components make up the system, and you need to know all of the components of the system to effectively troubleshoot it. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't jump in and assume that because you've seen a problem like this before and you knew how to solve it then, that you know how to solve it now. Make the connection. Take the time to investigate. Don't think that because you've seen a problem before that it's automatic and that you know exactly what to do to solve it. A little patience will go a long way. Take the time to see that big picture. Number two, check the mundane. Check the little stuff. I told you I started out in tech support. My first job was supporting a server application for salvage yards. Folks that manage the salvage yard would connect to the server, which was running MUMPS as a terminal server, and they would connect using terminals and modular cable using a telnet protocol. They would manage to search for their products and so on using a system of menus like you've seen on many old monochrome terminals. A fellow called me one day from a salvage yard, and he had a monitor that was bad. I checked the notes, and this was the second monitor that we'd sent him in 2 weeks. And he was irate. Why do you keep sending me lousy monitors? So, being the sophisticated technician that I was, I suspected a bad serial port on the serial bus. So I walked the user back to the server room, and I had him plug his cable into an alternate port. No dice. The monitor would still not light up. So I had him switch it with a known good monitor to see if the port was live. And sure enough, the known good monitor was working fine. It must be the monitor. I sent him an RMA, and I replaced the monitor. Exactly 1 week later, same user, in the morning, he called and he asked for me by name. And that's not usually a good sign for a support technician. This blankety-blank monitor you sent me is out again, he informed me heatedly. No way. There's no way that three monitors at the same location could fail in 3 weeks' time. So I told him I would call him back. I hung up. I went to the storeroom. I got a terminal monitor, that same make and model, and brought it back to my desk. I set it up on our test system, and I started looking at its physical dimensions, at its makeup. And I examined it for a few minutes, and pretty soon an idea occurred to me. I thought I knew what was going on. So I called the user back, and I asked if the monitor had been moved recently. The customer thought for a moment, and he said no. But they had remodeled the counter a few weeks ago, and I asked him to describe where the monitor was placed on the counter. Well, he said it was on the left side of the counter against a small shelf or a wall that had been installed to showcase, refurbished parts or something. So I asked him to make sure the monitor switch was on, and I had him reach his hand along the underside of the monitor on the left side and find a small dial, turning the dial away from the wall. It was the brightness switch. Turning it all the way on immediately illuminated the monitor, which had been working fine all along. And we'd replaced three monitors to find out that somebody had been fiddling with the brightness switch. Here's what we determined had happened. Each Sunday, the cleaning company cleaned the office. Salvage yards are filthy, dusty places, and dusting is the main part of the cleaning process in a salvage yard office. Until the wall had been installed, dusting the monitor had had no effect. But because they were dusting, because they were probably, before the wall had been installed, they were dusting in the bright direction. And when they installed the wall, the cleaning person had to dust in the other direction, the dimness direction. And when he or she did that, they were dimming the monitor by rubbing the little dial and turning it down to dim. The lesson here is check the little stuff. We spent a few $100 in shipping and monitor replacements because nobody thought to check the dim switch. Don't forget those little things, the power issues, the driver issues, the small configuration issues, usernames, password, case sensitivity, on and on. There's a whole host of little stuff to check. Don't skimp. Check each of the little things as you're going through and be very thorough. Many, many times you will discover that the problem is something fairly simple, straightforward, mundane, that has just been changed. And don't forget to ask those questions. What has changed recently? Very important question to ask. In fact, maybe one of the most crucial questions. Seems mundane, but almost always, if something was working before and it's not working now, something has changed recently, and that's where you need to begin. Another important point on the little stuff is to read the error messages. Read the error messages. How many developers actually read the error messages? Sometimes I wonder, some developer out there, some programmer out there, has taken the time to produce this error message and trap this error to tell you what he thinks or she thinks is wrong with your system, and nobody takes the time to read it. I can't tell you how many times this has happened. I get a phone call, and the client says, Mark, I'm getting an error message every time I click on this link. Okay, what does the error message say? Well, I don't know. I clicked OK. Well, click on the link again. Okay, I did it. Well, now what does the error message say? I don't know. And why not? I clicked on OK. It's like this OK button is magic. Clients think of it, clicking on OK, it will make everything OK. And they see the error message, they don't think to read them. Sometimes they're even useful error messages, you know? Sometimes they even make sense. Mark, I can't log in. Okay, what does the system message tell you when you try to log in? Your username is not found. Okay, that means your username you're using is not in the database. But I keep trying it over and over again. Look, I'll try it again. See? Not found. Okay. I'll look up your username. Meanwhile, I want you to take your sedatives and make an appointment with your therapist, okay? Does she know my username? Error messages and debug information are very useful. Some programmer has taken the time to send you this message. The least you can do is to read it. You should know where the log files are. You should know how to turn on the debug information. How does any ColdFusion programmer manage to program without the debug information on? I have no idea. I can't live without it. I look at a site without debug and I wonder where it's at. You should know how to read the debug. You should know how to read the error messages. And you should know how to unpack some of those cryptic little error messages and decipher the content. Those are the clues that you work with as a troubleshooter. Number three, if an easy solution presents itself, try it. Otherwise, list and prioritize. List and prioritize. Now, one of the biggest problems with troubleshooting is that there is usually not a single solution that's readily available for you. It's all set up and ready to go. The truth is, there's usually multiple possible solutions, and each one has to be tested to see if it solves the problem. Once you have the list, there are several questions that you have to ask that will help you deal with the list, to help you prioritize, because your first decision you will make will often be which one of these solutions, possible solutions, should I try first? So, here's some questions you should ask. Number one, are there any items on the list that are easy and straightforward to test and implement? If they are, you might want to try them first, even if you suspect they are not the real solution. If the situation is extremely urgent, you have to use wisdom. But in general, trying an easy fix that does no harm is a good first step. Let me explain that clearly for you. I'm not saying that you should try all your easy solutions first. What I am saying is that if some of your solutions are quick and painless, and if the problem is urgent, something that you're trying to fix for a customer who's losing money, trying something easy is sometimes the right way to go. Simply because if it fixes the problem, it's the quickest path to a fix. And you have to use wisdom in this case. But if, for example, switching your data source to a new SQL Server is an easy fix. It doesn't do any harm. It only takes an hour. Go for it. The downside is negligible, and the upside is tremendous. So you have to use wisdom, but trying an easy solution first is often a possible first step. I know I'm going to get called on that by folks who have a draconian view of troubleshooting, but I can tell you from experience that sometimes you have to knock off the easy things and get them out of the way and eliminate them as possibilities before you move on to the more difficult to implement steps. Second thing is, do you have a suspicion? Looking at your list, if you have 5 items that might solve your problem, does one of them stand out to you as the most likely to solve your problem? If so, put it at the top of the list. And the final item there, in terms of evaluating your list, has to do with implementation. How hard are your solutions to implement? This can affect your order as well. Sometimes you're trying to eliminate items that are possible fixes before you move on to items that are going to cost your customer a lot of time, effort, and especially money. No substitute for experience in this area. If you don't have sufficient experience, there's a whole lot of folks out there who do have plenty of experience and are willing to help, which leads me to my next point. Point number 4, tip number 4, use your resources. Use your internet resources. Ask questions to email lists, CF Talks, good place to start. There's also a good list on backfug.org. That's the Bay Area Cold Fusion User Group. But there's many other sites and forums. You can try Ask and Muse, the little form at the top of this blog, at the top of Cold Fusion Muse. I might just have an answer for you, and it might turn into a good blog post that'll become useful for you. Use Google. Amazingly, just about everything that anybody has ever done has been written down by now. It's all available online. Use the documentation that comes with the product you're trying to troubleshoot. Amazingly, many vendors have an interest in their application and its performance, and they are just as anxious to see it perform well and to do its job as you are. So don't be afraid of that. Don't be antagonistic to vendors. Work with them. For the most part, I find most application vendors to be very helpful and very extremely on task when it comes to troubleshooting and their interest in having their product perform. So there's the 4 tips. Just to recap, the 4 tips. See the big picture first. Check out the small stuff, the mundane things. If an easy solution presents itself, test and try it. Otherwise, list your possible solutions and prioritize your list, and then try them one by one. Test and implement. And finally, use internet resources. Follow these tips and you'll find you can effectively troubleshoot even complex problems, regardless of temperament. One thing to note, these tips are pretty broad. There's a number of troubleshooting checklists out there. One of my favorites is Mark Manassi's troubleshooting checklist from his book, PC Upgrade and Maintenance Guide. It's a checklist that really deals with hardware, but the principles are broad enough to apply to just about any troubleshooting task. So that's a really good one, and I love Manassi's stuff, all of his stuff. He's an excellent writer and troubleshooter, and will even respond to your email if you send him an email. So a good resource. But beyond that, there's just about an unlimited supply of forums and so on that you can go and discover the step A, B, and C that you need for your particular problem, and I would suggest that you utilize them. So this is Cold Fusion Muse. Please feel free to add a comment to the blog or use the Ask Muse form. Hope to hear from my listeners, and until next time, this is Cold Fusion Muse.